Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
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 Abba Yah, in the name of our son, Yahushua, Mashiach, Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King of the world, Father. We ask that you give ear to our prayer, Father, and let it be a sweet smelling through your nose. First of all, thank you for the breath of life and giving us another day of life, Father. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us to commune together. Thank you for leading and guiding us and protecting us through the week, Father. Thank you for all the struggles and all our learning that we attained from the struggles, Father. Thank you for the easy times also, Father, for the rest that you provide for us on a weekly basis. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins. Let us learn from our mistakes, Father. Let us grow from our mistakes, that we become more perfect, that we become more complete in you, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to chastise us when we go to the left and to the right, when we do things knowingly and unknowingly, Father, that every experience, Father, that we take from it, that we continue to just grow and become the men and women of Israel, the men and women that you desire. Father, we ask that you continue to renew your mercies on us, Father. Continue to be patient with us. Continue to show us your way. Lead us and guide us, Father. Continue to renew our minds. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Through the good times and through the bad times, Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shava Israel. How the family doing today? Good. This week was a little crazy for me, you know, because I was preparing for this lesson. I asked, you know, our brother Yaqiel to send me the list of how we were going in the order, and he sent it to me in the email. So I went through all my emails. I hardly ever go on my emails, so I got a real big backlog of emails. I go through the emails, and I find it, and it's in the PDF. I mean, it had an attachment to it, and I couldn't open the attachment. So I'm like, wow. Didn't panic, didn't trip. I'm like, well, I was just going to do what he'd been doing. You know, this is something that he... And that's the thing that I'm really learning, I'm really trying to get better at, is hearing our Father, you know. When things go wrong, when they go, not really wrong,
But when things go not as Todahaki, when things go not as you planned, you know, it's not that I've left you or anything like that, but what did he want you to do next? You know, when things didn't go the way you wanted them to go or the way you planned, what do Abba want you to do next? Can you hear his voice? You know, or are you going to get worried? Are you going to dump the plans? Or what are you going to do next? You know, so that's one thing that I'm really trying to learn to do better. You know, because as a priest, as a prophet, as one who stands, you know, in front of Israel and in front of Abba, that's something we're supposed to be able to do. You know, that's something that, you know, a lot of people, they quote this scripture, but a lot of people really don't try to do it. When it talks about leaning not to your own understanding, acknowledge Abba in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. But how can you do that if you can't hear his voice? You know what I'm saying? So it's like what we're talking about, order my steps. You know, in order for him to direct, when he called Sam, Shemuel, he said, Shemuel, Shemuel. And Shemuel thought it was his father. He thought it was Eli calling. So he went to Eli and said, here I am. He said, I ain't calling. And it happened a couple different times. But it was for Shemuel to understand. But Eli had to get it first. He was like, oh, okay, now I realize what's going on. Not digging him like that. Eli was like, Eli was like, okay, I understand what's going on. Shemuel, the next time you hear that voice, because he heard the voice, mm-hmm. but he didn't know how to respond to it.
Right.
You know, his response was to go to his father
mm-hmm.
and not respond to the voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was like, the next time you hear that voice, this is what you say. This is how you do it. You say, your prophet is hearing you. Your son hears you. Your servant hears you. Now what you want me to do? And, you know, and it's supposed to be like that for all of us. So, you know, when things ain't going right, you know, are we going to continue to listen to Abba's voice? You know, are we going to hear that small voice that's going to tell us what to do next, that's going to direct our path, that's going to do everything Abba said he was going to do? So, you know, and on the heels of that, pride comes about. I hurt my back at work a little while ago, and Friday comes about, I'm in a lot of pain because I had to kind of stretch my back the wrong way, getting on and off the bus, and I had to go to physical therapy that day. So this was the first time, this was the second time I was going, and I was in, like, immense pain, you know. So when I get there, my normal therapist isn't there, but, you know, this is the guy that works with me when a normal therapist isn't there. So I get there, and he asked me, he said, how you feeling today? I said, man, I'm not good. I'm in a whole bunch of pain. He said, you are? Well, that's good. I'm like, that's good. For who? But what he wanted to see was, what he wanted to show me was that the techniques work.
Right.
You know, that's why he meant by, well, that's good.
Right.
So he had me do some stretches on my back and this, that, and that. And it was this one particular stretch where I kind of stretched out my hamstrings,
mm-hmm.
and it helped my back work. It eased the pain on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, he explained to me why. He was like, you know, sometimes when you step wrong, when you step down, your pelvis rocks. It actually goes forward,
mm-hmm.
and it puts pressure on your back. So when you stretch out this hamstring this way, it kind of realigns your pelvis and eases the pressure on your back. I was like, okay, you know, but that's one of those things, proving it.
Right.
You know, he was telling me, you know, a lot of times when we're in pain, it's not good to, because what I told him, I said, man, I was going to just call you and not come. I was going to rest my back today and not come.
Right.
He said, well, that's okay, but it's not good all the time. Because he said, a lot of people think, you know, they need to rest their back when you actually need to move more, because you don't when you're in that pain, go for a walk or something, because you don't want those muscles to tighten up, you know. And he was like, man, you got tightness all in your hips, you got tightness all here, you got tightness here and there, and even up in your upper back is tight. He said, man, you need to move around more, you know, to loosen these things up, and that way it'll relieve pressure on your back. But what if I didn't go? I wouldn't have had that advice. I wouldn't have understood that this guy really, I mean, he's just as good as my other therapist. So it's like people have to prove things in their works. You know, I know what I'm talking about. You know, you might not know that. You might not know that I know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to show you. You know, and it's the same way with the Most High. But if we don't listen to his voice, you know, what if we hear that voice and we say, and we hear that voice and we say, go right. But you never go right. You go left and something happens. But you start to hear that voice, you start to listen to that voice, and you start to do as it said. Now the Most High is proven. I know what I'm talking about. I got you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. You know, so this is something that we really need to do more. And this is something that I'm trying to do more and really listen to Abba's voice when things don't go the way they plan. Because it happens on a constant basis. When stuff don't go the way you plan it, you know, what you going to do now? All right, Father, what's the next move? You know, that's what our response has to be, you know, when stuff don't go the way you plan it. You know? So today we're going to look at a couple of books. What I wanted to do today was look at the prophets who went to the house of Israel and the prophets that were sent to the house of Judah. But we're not going to do that. Today we're going to look at the books that give us knowledge. You know, the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs. And we'll look at Lamentations too, you know, because Lamentations, it happened during Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was one of those guys who were sent to one of the houses, I can't remember which, and had to go through and write them down again. But his lamentation gives us some knowledge on how he was feeling at the time, you know. So what do these books, what do we learn from these books? All right. So we're going to look at, we're going to start off with the book of Psalms, which in the Hebrew, that word is number 2167. Oh, well, that book is called Tehillim. But they also have, sometimes the word is translated as Zamar. The word is song also. It means a song or sing. You know, sometimes it's translated as Zamar. Sometimes it's translated as Tehillim. But most people say Tehillim. All right? Let's see. If I come across that number, I'll get it for you. But these Psalms, number one, the vast majority of them was written by King David. All right, King Daoud, who was, as we spoke about before, the second king in the line of three that ruled over all of Israel. And with each psalm, sometimes the words repeat, but each psalm is unique in its thought, you know. You have sometimes when a psalm might repeat a line, but that just shows you how important that thought is. You know, when you have a psalm that is a particular line, that's repeated. It's in one song, and then it comes back in another song. That just shows you how particular, how important that particular thought is that he will repeat it, you know. So when we look at the Psalms, you have every, and I was telling a friend of mine, the reason why I like music is because for every emotion you have, there's a song for it. However you're feeling, you know, somebody wrote a psalm about any type of emotion you can possibly live, you know, when you look at the world. You know, Luther, Michael Jackson, the Doobie Brothers, Chicago, even today's songs, you know, Pete Haynes and Neighbors Know My Name, that dude, I forgot. Forgot his name. Trey Songz. You know, everybody is writing any type of emotion you can possibly have, there's a song for it. You know, you got songs that when you break up with people, you know, my man put it, point, I don't love you anymore. Right. It's just that simple.
Right.
You know, that's the type of, you got a song for that. You got songs for when you're deeply in love with people. You got songs when you're liking people, I want to meet when you want to meet a woman, you know. You got a song for every emotion. And it's the same way with David. You know, when we listen to the Psalms, he had every emotion that you can go by. When my enemies compassed me, Father, you were there. Thankful. Oh, Father, deliver me. I've stumbled, regretting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, he's observing people, you know. And that's what we have. And even within that, all these psalms are dedicated to the Most High. And that's the difference between the psalms David wrote and the psalms that we find within the Word. Because we don't, you know, he wrote the vast majority of them. But there was a couple other psalms in there also, you know. Psalmists, I should say, in there also. So he wrote the vast majority of them, and all of them are dedicated to the Most High. That's the difference between the psalms that we read here and the psalms of the world, where you have in the world, you're dedicating them to your lover or your friend or somebody you want to be your friend, mama, whoever. Where all these are dedicated is to bring glory to Yahweh, you know. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it gives us a little context clues of how we ought to be. Like, let's look at Psalms 1:1. And the verse 2 lines, it gives a contrast of two people. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh. In his law does he meditate day and night. So when we just look at those two verses, we see two different people. We have a man that's walking in ungodly counsel, and then he standeth in the way, he's with the sinners. He's going the direction of the sinners, and then he sits with the scornful, right? But the contrast to that is a man who delights in the law of Yahweh. So a person who does what's in line one does not delight in the law of Yahweh. And he does not meditate on his law day and night. He's not even thinking about his law. So just within those two verses, we see two different people that he's talking about. You know, and he's allowing us to see, okay, which one do you want to be? You know, do you want to be the one who sits with the scorners, sits in walking uncounted counsel, or do you want to meditate on his word day and night, and be and delight in his law? You know, you're going to be one or the other. So just within those two verses, and then it keeps on going and talks about other different things. And you find that going on throughout through the Psalms. You know, you find a common theme. Another thing, I almost got it. Different types of Psalms were made. Can't forget that part. Pardon me for one second. There was, here, all right, here's one type of psalm. Miktam, which was a type of psalm. It was the Miktam number 4387. And you, in your Hebrew lexicon. And that word means, it's from another word, and it means an engraving. So this type of psalm was something that's supposed to mark you. You know, it's supposed to put an impression upon you. You know, when you think about, for lack of a better term, your favorite song. You know, we all, you know, we in the world, we all have songs, and we heard songs that we ain't gonna ever forget. You know, we all have songs that when we're in a certain mood, this song comes to our mind and it picks you up. Or, you know, when you think about a certain person, this psalm comes to your mind. It engraves you. It put a marking on you, you know. And this is the type of psalm, this is one of the purposes of this type of psalm. When you're feeling down, and you know, and some Bibles actually have that. You know, when you're feeling this way, here's a psalm for it. When you're feeling that way, here's a psalm for it. When you're feeling, you know, it some Bibles actually list the type of psalms you can read when you're feeling a certain emotion, you know. But these mixes were markings for you, you know. But they put kind of like an impression, so to speak, or designed to put a impression on you when you go into a certain thing. Psalm 16:1, the first thing it says, "Make them of David, preserve me, O-L-O-L, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto Yahweh, thou art my master. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints thou in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is my delight." So this is the type of song he's talking about, what's on his soul. You know, his soul is crying out to Yahweh. You know, and he wants Yahweh to preserve him. Preserve me, Father. And when you think about salvation, what better marking or engraving you should want on your soul to be preserved? I will preserve us in this world. Preserve me after my death. You know, because when you're thinking about preserving, sure, when we leave this, we'll go back out into the world. When this time and space is over, when we go back out into the world, Abba is preserving us. You know, a lot of people don't make it through the day. You know, but as long as we, like that first and that second guy, delight in his law, meditate on his law day and night, it helps to preserve us. You know, it's, and I don't think we can stress this enough. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a good guy. He eschews evil. Righteous. Does he not fear you? And this is the question Satan said. This is the question Satan asked Yahweh. Does he fear you for nothing? You know, that's the question Satan asked Yahweh. You hedged up him about always. And he has every reason to give you honor, give you, because you're protecting, you're preserving him in every direction. So he has every right to give you honor. But if you take that protection away, then what? But that's the thing. He's preserving us as we step out into this world, as we step out of our house, as we woke up, first thing, we're preserved, you know? And, you know, you have the Miktam, you have the songs of Asaph. You have different types of songs that are supposed to invoke different thoughts, you know, when we read them, because that's what it was given for, you know. the songs of assault, the songs of gathering the people. You know, when you want a united front, think of something along these lines. Or, you know what I'm saying? So that's, it's no different than the world, you know? Black people were united under the song of the old Negro spiritual. Lift every voice and sing that one, and we shall overcome, and this, that, and the other. It brought people together.
Right.
It's no different. They got it from here,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's what we got to start realizing. They got it from here. I was thinking about the movie Black Panther. Don't you know they stole the Black Panther out of this word?
Oh, talk about
it. You know, because when you think about the Black Panther and why the older father, the original Black Panther, killed his brother,
mm-hmm.
what he told him, he said, it was to preserve your spot, T'Challa, in the kingdom. That's why I killed my brother. Well, think about what Saul was trying to do to David.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why he was trying to kill David is so his son Jonathan
mm-hmm.
could be king.
Right.
Because he knew that David was going to be king.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same plot.
Mm-hmm.
So what he was trying to do, he just took a spear. They took a spear. He took a claw. No different.
Right.
You know? But he killed his son. He was actually successful within it in the Black Panther, where Saul couldn't get David.
Amen.
Because David was the next in line. He had that anointing
mm-hmm.
on him where Abba preserved him.
Amen.
You know, Abba
right.
preserved him.
Right.
So, but they get all their plots from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where they get it from. Didn't they say it's the best book ever written? Yeah, because it has
Amen.
Everything a man can go through within this book.
Right.
You know, but back to this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was the purpose of the Psalms, you know, to give praise and to invoke thoughts and really to fight us, get us out of. One of the things that we learned is that those demons can't stand when we praise God. So when they on you, he gave us 150, 160 of them or something like that. Different ways to get these demons off. You know, these are one of the more, it's another one of our weapons of warfare.
Come on.
You know, when you say our weapons aren't carnal, but they're spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of our weapons of warfare. All right? So any questions or comments?
No.
All right. So the next one we're going to go to. Proverbs. And that book name is, it's Mashal, I believe. Am I right? Or Mishil. Mishil Mashal. From number 4912.
Mm-hmm.
And it means, excuse me, it says in the Strong's, it says it's from 4910 in some original sense of superiority in mental action. Properly a pithy maxim, usually of a metaphorical nature, hence a simile. And when we looked into what the word pithy maxim meant, it meant ordering of the mind, I believe, when you look at it directly. Let me give me 1 second, Sam. I can't spell. I always spell that word wrong, so why in there?
Thank you.
the etymology of the word.
Michelle?
I know maxim has to do with the mind. But when you look at the word, the etymology of pit, it means like an ordering of it. Or like a, if I remember correctly. No, pithy means strength, strong or vigorous. All right. So these are things that give you, because that's actually Greek when they talk, when they say pithy maximus. You know, and when you look at, oh, yes, sir.
All right. As far as the term pith, or pithy, it means it means short. But when you connect it with this part maximum, it kind of, what do you call it? Like oxymoron?
Oxymoron, yeah.
Two opposite things, right? So it's a short saying, but when you connect it to the maximum, it's a powerful message.
Right.
You understand?
Strength and short strength. You know, short strength. I was looking at something else. It talks about how actually, well, let's get back to this stuff. Pithy maxim, short sayings that strengthen your mind. You know, these is with the Proverbs. That's why they described it that way, you know, because each individual, and once you get past, because it starts off as, you know, the book of Proverbs starts off as a story. You know, it's a talk between a father and a son. You know, and he starts talking to him. But once you get past that dialogue, each individual verse, what we call a verse, is sort of like a short saying that's supposed to increase his knowledge. You know, so after the, let's see. Like, let's start in, chapter 9, when it starts to talk about wisdom, you know, because up to like 7, you get a whole bunch of stuff, you know, you get a whole bunch of stuff through this whole book, but it really starts talking about giving you like individual things when it talks about, once it gets past the conversation between the father and the son, and he still gives his son a lot of knowledge. You know, go real short sayings, but it's kind of like a long conversation, you know. So this one is about wisdom, and he starts giving them little details about wisdom. You know, Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn down her 7 pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. So let's just look at those 3 verses. One, we find out wisdom is in the form of a woman. Right? So that's why she. She knows how to build because she's building her house. She is building her house. Right? She hewn down the pillars. So she understands how to put something together, right? And this is short stuff that, think about you seeing a woman build a house, right? I would just go, wow, I want her. You know, to me, that would be a desirable woman that has knowledge like that to build a house. Because if you combine your strength with her knowledge, now you got something going, you know. So she killed her beast. She's mingling her wine. She done built the house, and now she killed her beast. She know how to cook. She know how to make wine. She's also furnishing her tables. So she's setting up stuff, right? And then she says, she sent forth her maidens. So she got people underneath her. She knows how to lead, right? She cries upon the highest places. Who is simple? Let her turn in. Let him turn as a. Now he's talking about a man being simple and compared to wisdom, right? Let him turn hither. As for him that one of understanding, she said unto him. So she's willing to share her wisdom with the man.
Right. Man.
Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. But this is something, now think about a woman, think about how desirable this woman is. This is a woman who has understanding. She knows how to build. She knows how to cook. She set up the table. You know, these are qualities that are really that would be desirable. You know, when you're thinking about that. You know, and the crazy thing is, for we know the Torah is spiritual. So it's not even talking about a real woman. You know, he's talking about that lesser. You know, because when you think about men and women, greater, lesser, sun, moon, greater, lesser, heaven, earth, greater, lesser. You know, he's just showing what the lesser version of him has to offer. You know, so, you know, when you think about stuff like that, and you really think about, let's go to chapter 11, a short saying that's going to bring enlarged mind or a stronger mind. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to Yahweh, but a just week is his delight. So we know not to cheat people just from this. You know, real short and simple. When you're weighing out stuff, if you weighing out stuff falsely, Yahweh calls that an abomination. He really hates that. That's along the lines of homosexuality, you know, because he don't use that abomination term with every sin, you know. But there's some that he hates more than others, you know. And cheating people or defrauding people, that's something that he really hates. He says, but a just balance is his delight. He loves it when equality is there. And when I say equality, here's the order of things. Yah, Yahushua, man, woman. But as men, we are told to honor that woman as the weaker vessel. So we give honor upon that woman. And one of the issues that we have in this world today is gender equality. If genders were equal, he would not have sent up an order. There's no point in an order. There's no point in saying, Yah is the head. Yahushua is under him. Man is under Yahushua. Woman is under man. There's no point in that. If Yahushua is equal. Now, the word says this. Yahushua thought it not robbery to be equal to the Most High, but he understood his role. Because Yah gave honor to Yahushua. Just like a woman should not think it to be robbery or to be equal to her man. But the man gives honor to that woman. It's no different.
Right.
You know? When we all turn, we should not think it robbery to be like Yahushua. But Yahushua gives honor to us. You know? So no, we're not equal in that sense. In the sense that all is the same across the board. But we all do get the same thing. That's why we're co-heirs.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
We all get the same reward in the end.
Amen.
You know? Where the world is saying, no, 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 no. Everything a man can do, I can do. You can't. Physically speaking, you can't.
Right.
Just physically speaking. Just when you look, I can't do everything a woman can do. Men and women have breasts. Men's breasts don't produce milk.
Amen.
We can't see the baby.
Right.
Huh? But, you know, chest, breast. You know, most men say
chest, because now you got big dudes out here that really, you know. But physically speaking, men and women have breasts. But our breasts are different. We both have genitalia. Our genitalia is different. You know, they perform different functions. So physically speaking, no, we can't. Most women grow hair a lot longer than men. You know, our hair ain't down our daggone backs. You know, no matter how long we, I mean, some dudes can do it, but not many. You know, but physically speaking, a man can't do everything a woman can do, and a woman can't do everything a man can do. So, no, we're not equal. We were never equal. That's why he says the woman was brought to the man. The man wasn't brought to the woman.
The man. That's right.
The woman came forth from the man. The man didn't come forth from the woman.
That's right.
So, no, we're not equal. You know, but the world says it's something else.
Right.
Well, Yahweh says different.
That's right.
You know, so, like the words say, it's better for us to do what Yahweh say than what the world say.
Right.
It's better for us to agree with Yahweh. If you agree with the world, you are an enemy to the Most High.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what the words say.
That's right.
That's all. I mean, we can't gloss over that fact.
Right.
You know, we can't gloss over that fact because that's what the words say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, again, that's the point of Proverbs. Little short sayings to increase your mindset. You know, they make your mind stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll know not to cheat our brothers. I mean, we already know that, but it just kind of expands on it. You know, because that's what everything past the first five. It really expands on the first five. You know,
mm-hmm.
These are little examples because we learned back in Deuteronomy, Leviticus. You know, we learned in the first five not to defraud our brothers,
right,
not to cheat.
Right. That's right.
See, but when you get up to Proverbs. One of the things, one of the reasons why not to, Yahweh looks at that as an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it expands on, that was the purpose of the prophets and everything else, was
mm-hmm.
to expand on what Moses wrote.
Hallelujah.
You know? To give you a better understanding of what Moses wrote.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So people who only accept this part, they don't get the fullness. They miss out on so much.
That's right.
You know, they miss. It's like a person who goes to school, and both of y'all going for the same degree. One person goes for 2 years, another person goes for 6 years, you know, and they get, at the end, they get the same degree, but the one that goes for 6 years understands so much more. He gets a different degree than the person who goes for 2 years, you know, because his level of study is higher. His level of understanding is higher. You know, and it's the same thing with this. If you only deal with the first five, that's the limit of your knowledge. You know, if you only deal with the Old Testament, that's the limit of your knowledge. You got to get the complete scope of the word, you know, because he kept on revealing after that. You know, he kept on revealing after that. All right, so that's a, yes, sir.
I got a question for you since you said that.
Come on.
You have to believe, as you just mentioned, at the revelation, the Creator didn't stop revealing, but he continued to reveal, which is why other things have been changed. How would you speak to me?
When you say change, what do you mean?
Exactly what I said.
Change?
Yeah. Like, what may have been a standard according to Genesis to Revelation? God didn't stop revealing. He continued to reveal.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, has he continued to reveal to the point where now other things have been altered?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, sir. Because the words say what was revealed supports what was there.
Okay.
Nothing has changed. You know, nothing was changed. When we go through this, nothing was changed outside of the sacrificial system, and Yahweh said that it would change. You know, he said that this, It was a schoolmaster. All right? So when the promise did come, you will understand what the promise would do. Outside of that, Shabbat didn't change. Shabbat didn't change. The dietary laws didn't change. None of his laws changed. Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will be removed from this Torah. That's what came out of Mashiach's mouth. Now, if you are changing Torah and changing things like that, saying, oh, I got a revelation from this, that, and another, no, you didn't. Because now, to the law and to the prophets, that's how you have to speak, or there's no light in you. That's what he said. If you're going against the law and the prophets, and now you're saying this is done away with, that's an issue. You're wrong. All right? So now, don't get me wrong. Yahweh does continue to reveal. As long as there's a man on this earth, he's going to reveal his will to man. He says, learn from the things that you see out in the world and learn about me. Well, the world ain't gone nowhere. So that means we continue to learn about him.
Right.
Things continue to get revealed about him.
Right.
So revelation didn't stop. But
right.
If you're saying that because I understand this now, this change, that's where you're in error.
Right.
All right?
Right.
What did he say? He says, if there be a prophet among you, I reveal myself in dreams, this, that, and another. Now, if that dream comes to pass, and he says, let's go this way
right.
to follow other gods,
right.
kill that dude,
that's
because
right.
he ain't speak by me.
Right.
So what you see, the man spoke something true, but he wants to change the God that he wants to make a change.
Right.
He wants to change the God that gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
No, you kill him
that's right.
because he's false. And what's he going to do? He's going to cause others to go astray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see. Judah got caught up in what Israel was doing. And he keeps on showing us that. The house of Judah was doing good until they started looking at what Israel was doing.
Hallelujah.
Keep on. You can't get away from this. He's revealing stuff to us.
That's right.
You know? Go ahead, Aki.
Well, based on the explanation, can we say that revelation today is only confirmation of what was given yesterday?
Yes. Because it's going to agree with the Torah.
That's right.
It has to.
That's right.
If it don't agree with the Torah, then it ain't revelation.
That's right.
That's your thoughts.
That's right.
You know, revelation comes from one or two people. True revelation comes from Yahweh.
Right.
False revelation comes from Hasatan.
Right.
Right? Somebody had a revelation that when you see the moon looking like this, and when it's full, and when it's looking like this, they are your Sabbaths. And when it's gone. But that's not what Yahweh said.
Right.
You know? But it was revealed to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But by who? It's not agreeing with the Torah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. True revelation agrees with Yahweh.
That's right. Hallelujah.
He's not going to switch up.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what did he say?
That's right.
What'd you say, Aki?
I change not.
That's right. Yes, sir. Okay. I was going to talk about, before my coming, you're going to hear about wars, rumors of wars. You're going to hear about earthquakes. You're going to hear about all this stuff going on in the earth. Don't even trip about it.
Right.
These just the beginnings. So when we hear about volcanoes blowing up, and an earthquake last week, and we go on a war with China, and a rumor of war, don't trip about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the beginnings.
That's right.
You know, we have different things, different markers that we look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that something got to jump off in the land of Israel that's going to cause, that when we see it, that's when we get low.
Get low.
Something has to jump off over there,
mm-hmm.
all right? But all this stuff about war, all this stuff about all the earthquakes and this, that, and that, Yahweh said, don't worry about it. Yahushua said, don't worry about this. Don't even worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get this sign, that's when it's time,
right.
All right? What were you going to ask?
That's okay. We're talking.
Okay. All right. that's the purpose of Proverbs. Short sayings to expand our minds or strengthen our minds. All right? Next book. Ecclesiastes, if I pronounced it right. Oh, boy. The name of this book is, Ikea, I'm going to need your help on this one. Yeah. Kohelet. Right. And it's the word preacher would be that's where you find that word under. And Ecclesiastes 1:1, the word preacher in the Hebrew section, number 6953, that word is Kohelet. And it means a assembler. All right. Feminine of active participle from 6950. Assembler, that is a lecturer, abstractly a preacher. So what this did was, what this book actually did was, it was a collection of sayings from different folks. Because even though this was written by the Book of Solomon, this was written by King Solomon. That's most of the Proverbs were to, you know, when you went from King David, who gave us the Psalms, to King Solomon, who was, the word says, he was the wisest until Yahushua came.
That's right.
Right? He's given us the wisdom, Proverbs, short sayings to expand your mind. Ecclesiastes, these are collections of sayings. Because when the life of Solomon, when he was king, he got a lot of visitors, you know. The word said people would come from everywhere to hear this man speak.
Amen.
Well, they didn't just hear him speak. They spoke also. They brought knowledge and wisdom from different wherever they came from. So when the Queen of Sheba came up and heard him saying, don't you know that he collected some wisdom from this woman also? Because that's what a wise man does. He keeps on increasing in knowledge. Keep on increasing in wisdom. You know? So it's no different from what the word said. Separate the meat from the bone. You know? Hold on fast to that which is good. That means you get rid of that which ain't bad, which is bad. You know, the all things hold fast to that which is good. So you keep on increasing in knowledge. So as he was listening to these people, he just collected some sayings from around that he heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love how it starts off. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the preacher, or Kohelet, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And he just keeps on going. This whole world is vanity. That's what he's come to realize. When you think about, he talks about everything in it. You think about all your labor and all the things that you gain in this world. You're going to die one day and you go to somebody else. So who are you working for? You're not working for you. You're working for the next person. You know? When you think about getting drunk, eventually you're going to get sober. Death comes for everybody. So it doesn't matter what you have in this, if you're rich or you're poor. You're going to die.
Right.
You know, all these things are withheld in it. It's a time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every emotion that you feel comes at a specific time. You know, it's a time to get rid of folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to gather folks. You know, he say stones. But that's what anything in life. Why do we hold on to stuff that we can't use anymore when its usefulness is gone? Why do we have, we have things that have what we call sentimental value. You know, like somebody might have their, a lot of people get their first kid's baby shoes bronzed. You know, and they put them up on the shelf. Some people might still have the first kid's baby shoes. They can't wear them no more.
You remember when he was that small. Some people attached. You know, my man got attached. He got like 6 kids, each initial or each name on his arm. You know your kids. You know, we do things that are kind of vain. You know, we do things that are kind of vain. You know, I thought it was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious to the person, but I saw a pretty Mercedes Benz on the back of a tow truck. I thought it was hilarious. Because somebody paid like $60,000, $70,000 for this car, and it ain't working right now. And I just thought that was hilarious. It's no different than if somebody put a Toyota on the back.
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing. It ain't working.
Right.
It's not performing its function.
Right.
You know? And I got to thinking about it, man. His bill's going to be high. It's going to be real high. That's a thing. You got to pay for them things. But, you know, a Toyota bill kind of high, too. Because when you think about why this guy bought a Benz, some people buy Benzes because they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you can afford is a Toyota. When you get that bill, it's going to be high to you.
Right.
Just like when he get that Benz bill, it's going to be high to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's no difference.
Right.
You know, and eventually, you're going to have to get rid of both of those cars.
Listen.
They don't run forever.
Listen.
Eventually, they're going to hit the junkyard. There's Benzes in the junkyard, just like there's Volkswagen Beetles in the junkyard. You know? It's no different. But all these fakes, you know, are for us. You know, they we live, we die. What are we going to do in between? You know? We're going to do some stuff that's vain, but the word says at the very end of this, fear y'all. Keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's the whole man. That's the complete man. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
But instead, a lot of times, we concentrate on the vanities. And he tells us that,
mm-hmm.
You know. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4. Starting at verse 1. He says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which have not yet been, or who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So he's looking at what's going on in this world. He sees people being oppressed who have no power, and then they have no power and no comfort. Then you have people who are in power, the oppressors, and they have no comfort either. So what he says in both cases, it's better for a person not to be born and witness this than the people who are alive. You know, this is what he's saying in his mind. It's better for a man not to go through this oppression, not to be oppressed or not to oppress. It's better for a person not to be born than these folks. Why? The people who are oppressed, it's like it's another prayer in here. Father, don't give me more than I need, and don't give me not enough. Because if I have more than what I need, I might sin and say, who is Yahweh? If I don't have enough, I might steal and take your name in vain. You know, same way for the oppressors. These people who are oppressing people don't see Yahweh.
Amen.
They can't. Or else they wouldn't oppress me.
Amen.
So they have no comfort.
Right.
They have no comfort. And the people who are being oppressed, a lot of times they take Yahweh's name in vain because they're going through oppression. Some people, it's like Aladdin. Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. That's what he said. That's one of the things with Aladdin. He was even in, and then they had a song about it because Aladdin was poor. I got to eat today. I got to steal to eat. I'll tell you about it when I got some time. Because he's running because he's stole some food.
Right.
But when you steal, you're taking Abba's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So in both cases, Solomon said, it's better for a man not to be born than to go through all this. You know? Because in both cases, these men are subject to sin. Where a person who isn't born isn't so much.
Really?
No, he isn't. You know? But think about all the things that he saw. Think about all the experiences that he had.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Think about all the things that he went through to come to this conclusion
mm-hmm.
On this particular matter. And he goes through, and, you know, we read the book. He goes through a lot of stuff, you know. He goes through a whole bunch of stuff. Anything that you can think of. I got all these women. I'm looking at all these women. Looking at all these beautiful women. Vanity. Drinking all this expensive wine. Vanity. You know. If I got a job that I don't like doing. Vanity. You know, he said man should be, he should enjoy his work. Think about all these vain things that we do under the sun on a constant basis. He says, at the end of it all, if we're not fearing Yahweh, not keeping his commands, we're messing up. We miss the whole point of living. That's the whole point of living. Fear Yahweh. Keep his commands. Show others how to do it. You know, that's what, that's the expansion on that. You know, because that's what Yahushua brought to the table after Solomon. He said it like this, go forth and make disciples out of everybody. So you go with, you learn, you fear Yahweh, you keep his commandments, then you teach other people how to do it. You know, constantly growing, this word is. Any questions or comments about anything? All right. Song of Songs. Another book by Solomon. This book, is it, what's the name of this book? Sharia Shireen,
I believe.
Shireen HaShireen. And it means Song of Song, loosely translated. Now, this book here is a love poem at face value. What is it? What would be the best way to describe this? As it's a letter that's born between a man and a woman who loves this person, and this woman longing for this man. You know, it really delves into the feelings of a woman, and you know, you have the Shulamite woman. And her love for this man. And she goes through all these emotions, thinking about him constantly and everything. And this is one of those books where we understand that it's really spiritual because it just doesn't fit like every other book. You know, you have history, you have prophecy, you have wisdom. And then you just have this love poem stuck in the middle of it. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, the Most High, when we really look at this book, he's really showing, he's expressing his love for his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really showing you in great detail how he longs for us. You know, how he really wants us, you know, and let's go to the I think it's the third chapter. Yeah, let's go to the third chapter. Song of Songs, third chapter. You know. Now you remember it's the Shulamite woman that's doing all this, but this is Abba expressing to us how he feels about us. Right? He says, Song of Songs, chapter 3. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loves? But a little that I passeth from them. But I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceiveth me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stare not up, nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Threescore valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. And all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it in purple, the mist thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. So, in that chapter, you know, you got this woman looking for this man. And she's running through the city trying to find him, just asking people about him, where's the whereabouts. And that's all you keep on hearing is the one that my soul loves. And when she finally found him, she held him and wouldn't let him go. You know, think about how Yahushua went and he found all his people. He said, if you go, I'm going to gather you. You can go to the outreaches of heaven. You can go to the depths of the earth. Wherever you at, I'm going to gather you. Think about how he's searching for those who his soul loves. The ones who delight in his law. The ones who keep his commandments. You know, how he searches for them. You know, we read in Ezra, one of the Apocrypha Ezra, he said, there's dirt, there's lead, there's clay, there's dirt, clay, lead, silver, and gold. Who cares if you find a pile of dirt? I'm looking for that gold. You rejoice when you find that gold, you know. That's how he searches for us, you know. Think about the parable that he gave about 100 sheep and one was gone. I'm leaving the 99. I'm going after that one. My soul is connected to the sheep. I can't lose them. You know, I'm coming for them and I'm bringing them back. You know, and then it keeps on going and it turns into this scene where the espousals, the bride, is finally getting to see the groom. And she's being nice and dressed up and it's nice and face coming from the wilderness, smelling like myrrh and frankincense, you know? You know, think about how the Most High longs to be with us, you know? It's not a one-sided love affair where we just giving all our love to him. It's return, you know? The way we long to be, we sing that song, Oh, Yahushua, how long shall we wait? That one. He's feeling the same way.
Right.
He's waiting. He asked Abba, time yet, Abba? No, not time yet. Is it time now?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with my wife. Think about a marriage, you know, and how you want to be with that woman. You can't wait to be with that woman, you know. They're waiting, and that's why they make you, they make you wait, because the bride is the last one to come out. You know, so the groom standing there and waiting for his bride. The bride comes out, The wedding happens. After that, you kiss, right? Bye. I'm going to the honeymoon. Can't wait to be with my wife. You know? I can't wait to consummate this union. I want to be with my wife. And after that, you're supposed to be inseparable. You know, it's supposed to be until one of y'all die. You know? That's how it is for us. That's how it is for him. I can't wait to make sure that happens. To make sure we are inseparable. I'm going to take that till death do you part out of the vows. I'm going to give you eternal life.
Amen.
So you'll always be with me.
Amen.
Always. You ain't got to worry about that death do you part vow.
Because
there ain't going to be no more death.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about the crying, the abuse, no bad words and this, that, and another. I'm going to wipe every. You ain't going to have to worry about that. It's going to be, quote, unquote, the perfect marriage. You know, what marriage was intended to be. The union that the Most High has with God. You know, exact replica. So, any questions or comments about that one? Last book, Book of Lamentations. Excuse me. All right. And somebody tell me the name of this book. It's funny. It's translated as how. That number is number 349 in your Strong's lexicon, and it says the word is echa, and it means how or how, and it's asking a question. It's translated as how or what. All right, and that's what you have in this book. You know. Lamentations is a book written by Jeremiah at the time of the captivity. You know? And what he's doing is basically asking the Most High various questions and crying over what happened. You know, the first two, three of the four chapters starts with Echa. You know, how three of the five chapters starts with a cop. As we went through it, we know Israel's disobedience caused them to go into captivity. I believe Jeremiah went down to the Babylonian captivity. And in that captivity, Israel was given a choice. Y'all can go down into the captivities and live. Y'all go down there and y'all build houses and y'all continue to, you know, obey me. Build houses, get comfortable down there because y'all going to be down there for 70 years. And in that time, whoever goes down into captivity is going to live. Whoever chooses to go down into captivity is going to live. Those who do not go down into captivity was going to die. That's what he told them.
it's sort of like, and this is the thing that we have to understand. And I'm going to bring it up to this date because this is one of my little pet peeves, so to speak. Whatever we read, and if we say we follow in the Word, and we say we understand the Word, whatever we read about Israel going into captivity, we never get the instructions to fight the captor, fight back. We never get those instructions within the Word. If we say that we believe this Word, whenever Israel went into captivity, Yahweh said, I'm going with you. I'm going to be there. Whenever we see Israel going into captivity, he also talks about how he would grow us as a nation. When we went to Egyptian captivity, he said that when we went down there, the Egyptians understood that we were more and mightier than them. That was their confession. So they had to deal with us craftily. When we went into Babylonian captivity, he told us to grow vineyards, build houses, and live our lives there. I'm going to be there. It even got to the point in the Babylonian captivity, we had men on the inside. Because when we look at the government of Babylon, Daniel was there, who rose to be, I believe, the second or third in charge in all the land. We had the other three Hebrew boys, can't remember their Hebrew names, but Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, they were there, and they had positions of power. So we had people within that government who could help us. You know, they were Hebrew, and they were showing the ways of the Most High within that government. So I don't understand how. I do understand because we get tired of the oppression, like what was read before, and we want to lash out, but we shouldn't lash out. Then you have people, and then you get different people with different agendas. You know, you get the fight the power type thing. Fight the power. Y'all remember that song? And it's telling us to be anti-this and anti-that. But it never tells us to be pro-Yahweh, you know. And to me, that's the thing. If we have this promise that Yahweh will be with us when we go down here, that's all we have to do is obey his law, statutes, and judgments. Then let's do that.
Amen.
Because trying to fight this government, going to work. We can't do it. What military do we have to fight against nukes? What military do we have to fight against the tanks? To fight against, you know, people buy guns, but these, you're buying them from the people who manufacture them, and they're on their side. You know, I don't care how many guns you buy, they can make more than what you buy. I don't care how many bullets you buy, they can make more than what you buy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, and they try to say, you know, buy black, do this. Well, if buying black folks got the same military contracts as these white folks, how is that benefiting? Why don't we just try to do what Abba say?
Amen.
And see if that works.
Yeah.
Because up to this point, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Not as a people. You know, we haven't done that as a people. You know, and I think that's when we look at the Lamentations, it's like we got to this point because of our disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying out to you, Abba, because of our disobedience. And we ain't all bad.
You know, it's just a couple. We got a lot of knuckleheads. It's not, we're not all bad. But, you know, don't forget your people down here, too. I hope, I pray that, you know, none of us get caught up in that foolishness. You know, because, I mean, as watchmen, we really got to watch folks. And we really got to watch the people who we come across. And the ideas that they bring up. And you know, because people try to drop a seed so subtly. You know, they try to drop seeds so subtly, like you know, because Satan, he's slick. And the minute that, you know, it's like what Yaphael said, you know, the minute we do this, we nod off for a second, there that seed's gone. It don't take but a second to do that. The phone. As soon as we nod off for 1 second, he's been planting a bunch of seeds. So, you know, we got to stay vigilant and we have to watch constantly. So we don't fall into, and I'm saying that here for us. You know, that's something that we have to do constantly. So we don't fall prey to any of this foolishness out there. We can discuss anything. You know, any idea can come. And we can kick it around and this, that, and another, see if it line up with Yahweh's will. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're trying to see if it lines up with Yahweh's will. So, you know, we're not afraid to speak or talk to anybody about anything. The word says, hear all things.
Amen.
And hold fast to that, which is good. So, you can talk to us about anything. And I really think, I really encourage that. That anything that comes up on the table, talk to us. And put it out there so we can see if it lines up with Yahweh's will. You know? But as watchmen, this is our call. Because at the same time, we lament people and we lament the state of Israel. Because the state of Israel sucks right now, for lack of a better term. We can't even, there's no other way to describe it, you know? We can't get the heads to sit down to talk about something. If we come across other people, their first issue is to argue. You know, Israel should not be combative with Israel. You know, we shouldn't be, our first inclination shouldn't be to swing at one another.
Amen.
You know, or, you know, when I say swing at one another, coming at you, but you ain't right with the word, you ain't this, that's swinging on one another. You know, we shouldn't be that way. Not with one. We shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way with anybody, but especially not one another. You know, so Lamentations being us crying out to Abba about the state that we're in. You know, come on back home and make everything right. You know, that's it in a nutshell. And that was the last book. So, any questions or comments about anything?
Just to take you back on something that you said earlier, and I think that was an important point that we learned when we were going through the book of Chronicles and, you know, taking us back to what we learned in the book of Kings. But I think in Chronicles, it really laid it out how, even among Israel, when we think about Israel as a collective, Israel was divided.
Uh-huh.
You had 10 tribes who were the majority, and you had the 2 tribes who were the minority. And as long as the minority was doing what they were supposed to do, everything went well for the house of Yehuda. But as soon as they started to take notice of what Israel, the house of Yisrael, was doing, that's when they started to do
something.
And I think in our day, on a larger scale, the exact same thing is happening.
Yep.
You had a mainstream Hebrew Israelite movement that has an impact on what those who follow after the Messiah did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth of it.
That's right.
You know, a lot of times when people have the mindset where they don't know which way to go about an issue, is it because that's what the Torah said, or is it because you see this big group over here doing it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can't be because, well, this big group over here is doing it, and they Israelite preach. So I was thinking about that earlier this week. But everything that we learned about Israel, they was already in the land.
Mm-hmm.
You got people with the mindset, well, this parent, they live over in Israel. So what?
Right.
that no bad seed gets sown within the good seed. Right? Any other questions or comments? That ends this poem portion. Poku. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy all your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Brother Matatya, closing this out, please.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.